So I'm excited. Today we get to kick off a brand new series. I actually was like sad when Forging Family was over. I felt like we could have stayed in that for so long, you know, because it was that good. And but I just know that God said, you know, it's time to move on because, you know, I said, okay, well, we're going to do it. So I'm excited about this series coming up, this that we kick off today. It's going to be 5 weeks, all right? And it's taken from the 2025 Easter survey that we did on Easter Sunday. How many remember that? You're like, what happened to that? Well, we put it and we schedule it because we put it at a place where you can invite friends, you can invite neighbors, invite your enemies so they become your friends, you know, after they get born again or whatever. But this Easter annual survey that we've done, this is the second year we've done it, and there's a plethora of topics that are on this survey. And so we give it to you on Easter because usually that's when everybody comes to church on the same day, right? And not to diss on anybody, but a lot of times, like, you know, some people come on the first and third, some people come the second, some people come every single Sunday, praise the Lord, you know? But whatever, usually everyone's here on Easter, so you can get a full thought pattern, you know, of what people think. So these are going to be the top five topics that were taken from this Easter survey. And so I'm going to give you all five of them because I want you to come back. I want you to be here every single Sunday, just like every pastor would, right? And so these five topics, this series is called You Ask, or excuse me, Asked. And so these topics we'll cover in this is random order, not an order of, you know, we'll tell you the order as we minister them, but anxiety, depression, miracles, sharing my faith, spiritual warfare, and the end times. Now, mind you, this survey was done at Easter. So I was very, very interested. I thought it was very, very interesting how that you know, played out. So last Sunday, I brought the question to our attention before we ministered the last session or the last week of Forging Family, which I encourage you should, families, I mean, even if you're the outer nesters or empty nesters, go back and listen to that, you know, individuals that are wanting to have a family, starting a family, go back, marinate, chew on that information, chew on what the Word of God says about, forging family. Within your home, having a God, Christ-centered home. But I brought this to our attention before we did that. Since the assassination of Charlie Kirk, we have seen multiple individuals around the planet, right, around the world that have literally gone to church for the first time, received Jesus, and also have been going back to church for whatever reason, maybe after, you know, 10, 12, 5, whatever years. And so which prompted me to ask the question, what if the most important countdown in history has begun? And Jesus said, there will be one unmistakable sign about the end. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, in this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So what if? Just asking, what if? What if? Right? I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, like some people say on TikTok and all this stuff. And I'm an expert in the revelation. I'm the expert in the rapture. And no, you're not. Okay? If you're saying Jesus is coming back at a certain time, you're not. So what if the funeral of Charlie Kirk has started that countdown? Because hundreds of millions of people heard the gospel. Hundreds of millions were reported to see it on some type of platform, social media or the replay or whatever. Now, if we're seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached to the whole world, where that prophecy that Jesus in Matthew 24, 14 is beginning to unfold right before our very eyes, So today I want to start with the number two requested of the five. Okay? Number two subject that was ranked of all of those. I'm not kidding you now. There's a plethora of choices. And this was the number two requested. And we could connect the dots to this because I believe that it often stirs up a lot of emotions. And today we're going to talk about the end times. After the series of the last few, a couple months, I think it's appropriate. I think it's good. I think strike while the iron's hot. Holy Spirit told me, he's like, it's in people's minds. It's in people's forefronts. So we're going to talk about that, the number two. And for some reason, just hearing those words, the end times, as I just saw somebody's face, I mean, they go, end times, I want to talk about it. It causes fear, maybe some confusion, right? Others are fascinated by it, reading books, watching movies, trying to connect the dots to the world events, that a biblical prophecy. I remember I think I was 17 years old maybe, which was like a few weeks ago. And so it was, but I remember there was a movie called Image of the Beast, and some of old school might remember that. And it was, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to play on the words here, but just so hear me out. That movie was literally meant to scare the hell out of you. Okay, like the literal hell that you've got on the inside of you, because I mean, people that were born again were going into the altar at the end. I mean, it picked up for like a couple days after the rapture, and then what took place in the tribulation. And so I remember seeing that, and man, it was like an 80s movie. I don't know. Does anyone ever remember seeing that or remember hearing them? I mean, actually, I just watched it this week, and it's on Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, it's free. All the Left Behind stuff is on Amazon, Amazon Prime. And so I watched it, and, it was made in 1980, Image of the Beast. It's like old school. I mean, it is like literally, it's almost like cheesy, but the content, because it's the Word of God, was like, especially when you think it was written in 1980 and it's the year 2025 and you're like, what? Wow. Because it talks up, anyways, you start lining a piece and stuff up, what's going on, and like, whoo, but at the same time, so how do you, I caught myself in preparation over the last few weeks for this, knowing that we were going to be here. How do you tackle this topic on a Sunday morning, right? Do we drill deep on the seven seals? Do we drill deep on the seven trumpets or the seven, the bowls or the vials? Do we, the 12,000 that it represent, the each 12 tribes of Judah that equal out to 144,000? Do you drill down deep in that stuff? The Antichrist, because people start getting scared. People start because they don't understand. Because it all starts with the rapture. And that's the big question. Because a lot of people think, okay, is it, does a rapture happen before the tribulation, during the tribulation, after the tribulation? A lot of people, we talk about it and they have different thoughts. I'm going to give you my opinion, okay? When you begin to read the Word of God and you see his character, I don't think there's any way he would want his children to go through the tribulation. He removes his spirit, the Holy Spirit, from the earth. Why would he ask us to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit only to take it away in the greatest time of need? And that's just my take, because that's my evaluation because of his character all throughout the Word, all throughout the Bible. And so I'll just leave it like that. But here's the truth. The bottom line where we really want to get to today, as Christians, we don't have to be afraid of the end times. We don't need to live in panic. We don't need to live in dread. We don't need to live in uncertainty. Why? Why? That stuff scares the mess out of me, Pastor. It just, you know, seriously, you know, I'm clenching because I'm like, I just don't want to think about it. And how many of us know just because we don't think about it doesn't mean it's not there? That's like saying, if I ignore the devil, he's not there. And that's one of his greatest tools. He wants you to think that he doesn't exist. Why? Why should we not be scared? Why? No. Because the end of the story has already been written. And the ending is glorious. Right? Jesus wins. And his people win with him. And is there anybody here that says they are his people? Amen. I raise both hands and a leg. You know, I am with him. Right? Matthew chapter 24, we read verse 14. Let's read 13 and verse 12. Because of the increased wickedness. Now, the scripture we just read just a second ago, I'm reading the two scriptures before, two verses before. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So my first point about talking about the end times is we have to understand the end times. We have to understand the end times. So let's start with scripture when it talks about that. Chapter 24, it talks about it. Jesus tells his disciples that in the last days, that there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, false prophets. He calls these things, calls these things that we just named the beginning of birth pain. In other words, these are signs pointing that there's something greater coming. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, speaks of a great falling away and the rise of lawlessness. John, in Revelation, gives us powerful images of the tribulation, judgment, in the ultimate triumph of Christ, our Savior. And I know that all these things can sound somewhat overwhelming, but we must remember this in understanding the end times. The end times are not meant to scare us. The end times are meant to prepare us. Yes, see the difference in perception. You think about it. God didn't include prophecy in his word so that we would constantly be living in anxiety. Well, that now that you say it like that, that does make a lot of sense. But we need to think about that. He didn't put prophecy in his word to cause us to live in anxiety, to be stressed. He gave us prophecy to remind us that, what? He's in control. History is not random. And it's moving toward a God-ordained conclusion. See the different perception about the end times that I'm talking about? So we have to understand that. The second point I want to give you this morning about talking about the end times is the Christian perspective. That's what I'm trying to give you this morning, a true godly perspective, not to fall into the flesh. About a fleshly perspective about the end times. And also, when I mention about, you know, how should we drill deep? My purpose, one of my job descriptions as your pastor is to cause you to draw to the Word of God, to desire more of God's presence, right? To give you everything I possibly can. I heard one pastor say this, and I want to do that. I want, and I pray that I do that. Everybody gets the cookies. You take the cookies from the top shelf and you put them on the bottom shelf. Everybody gets a cookie. It's everybody, no matter where you are in your relationship with God, no matter where you are in your walk, no matter how mature or immature spiritually, and that's not a diss. Some of us are just growing in the things of God, you know? That everybody, it's attainable. Everyone understands it, no matter where you are in your relationship with God. And so my purpose is not to cause you to leave scared, fearful, or with more questions from church. It is for you, enough for you to say, I'm encouraged, I'm excited. I actually want to go in and read more about this. I actually want to go and learn more about this. It causes you to draw closer with Christ. So that's the route that I'm taking with you this morning. And to give you a Christian perspective, right? The whole world looks at the future with fear. Christians look forward with hope. The rapture comes. We get taken up. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I am not fearful. A lot of times we're fearful because of what? I'm not married. I want to get married. Oh, I want to have kids. You know, I'm ready to be a grandparent. I want to have to be a grandparent first. Oh, it's all, usually those are fleshly things. And I'm not dissing on that. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm giving you a different perspective. Because we can allow that fleshly perspective to become our spiritual perspective and don't even realize it. Where the end times become scary. Right? Paul calls this blessed hope. And Titus chapter 2, verse 13, right? He says, we are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the blessed hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul describes the return of Christ. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will what? Rise first. And those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. A lot of us throughout the years focus on the beginning part of that. But though the last sentence of that verse is paramount. It is so important. Paul says, comfort one another with these words. The truth about the end times isn't supposed to scare the church. It's supposed to encourage the church. Yes, the Bible warns of the tribulation. There's some crazy stuff. I ain't gonna lie to you. Some of you that are like, oh, I just binge on Netflix series or Hulu series or Amazon series. I just, you know, blah, blah, blah. You start reading Revelation, you start binging. Like, man, there's like, what? Wait, what? What does that trumpet do? What is that? What is that? What? Oh, man. Who? What? Man. Oh, okay. You know, there's plenty of you to chew on. Plenty of you to feed them. But the thing is, you think, the way I see it is like, I just need to make sure that your boy ready. That's how I view it, which I'll get to, right? The Bible warns of the tribulation, but it also assures us in John 16, verse 33, that Jesus has overcome the world. We know this. Can someone say amen? Amen. Yes, there will be trials, but for the believer, the end of the story is that we are victorious, not defeated. So, okay, Pastor John, you got me, I'm with you. So, how should we live in the meantime? Right? Valid. That's a valid question, it's a valid thing. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm changing my perspective. I'm not scared. I'm hopeful. I'm not fearful, I'm encouraged. So how do I live in the meantime? I'm going to give you some sub-points for you to write down so that you can, if you're of that person that you start sweating when you start talking about the end time. I want to talk about the end time. I want to talk about it. Because in a lot of times it's because we don't understand it. But once you get in there and once you start, you pray, because it can be overwhelming, because if you gotta, I'm gonna say this. You need to have your spiritual eyes on when you're reading the Word of God all the time. But you can't allow revelations to scare you. Not when you're going to seeing these crazy movies that are far more demonic in the movie theater or on your TV, and you're allowing that in your home, but then we're too scared to read the Revelation. Come on. So how should we live in the meantime, right? If we know that Jesus is coming again, how should that affect our lives? I'm glad you asked. Be watchful and not worried. Okay, there's a big difference. Be watchful and not worried. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, Jesus said, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come." Obviously, we know that Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. Not even he knows. Jesus be sitting right next to God, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Whoops, right hand. Right, oh, that's right, your hand's right hand. So I got to go backwards here. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus doesn't even know. When God says, he's going to look at him and go, you know? And then he's going to know. If Jesus doesn't know, why in the world can somebody else on this earth know? The moment someone says, oh, he's coming back on Tuesday at 4:42, can you please tell me, is that Easter, Pacific, or what? You know, because, I mean, everyone got to be ready. No one explains that, you know? That's how, you know, but anyways, but no man knows, why would he, okay, I'll just say me, because I don't want to dog out on anybody. If God tells me, why in the world would God tell me before he tells his own son? So, you know, maybe they have the right heart motive, but they're just a little deceived. I'll just be nice, you know. I ain't going to call them a bonehead. You know, I'll just say they're just a little deceived. Okay? But we need to be aware. Okay, nah, I ain't going to listen to that. Because it's all about, let me tell you something. All right, I'm going to tell you something. It's all about clicks. It's all about, you know, the more clicks, the more money they get, regardless of it. So just telling you, don't fall for it. Okay? We don't need to be obsessed over dates or headlines. We just need to live ready. Be watchful. There are some things that you're going to see come to pass. If you understand the Bible and you know the things that are taking place prior to, you know, when Jesus comes back, you can start seeing those things. And so it doesn't like scare us, it should excite us. Hey. Like when I hear, I think about, like when I thought, Maybe the beginning, the launch of that countdown of the end times coming back, you know, Jesus coming back, that didn't scare me. I don't go and say, Calvin, we need to spend all our money, you know, we're going to Aruba. Forget the church. We're just, you know, we're gonna no, that's foolishness. I don't even know why I said Aruba. We want to go to Italy. So anyways, so be watchful, not worried. There's a validity, there's a truth to that, okay? There's understanding, and it's okay to understand and know and notice things and stuff like that, because when I was sitting there watching different things, I was reading different things, right? And I'm like, I'm connecting the dots of what's going on right now. I'm like, dang, we're closer than we think. And then it's exciting. It is. And so it reminds you, can I just tell you? Okay, time doesn't work the same for God as it does with us. Amen. I mean, in the Word of God, it talks about that a day for him is like 1,000 years for us. Okay, so again, be watchful, not worried. Another point, sub-point is stay faithful. This is where things that we all can do, all right? It doesn't matter if you know about what fourth trumpet does or the seventh seal is. It doesn't matter if you're not faithful. We got to stay faithful. In the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, why, listen to me, five were wise and kept their lamps full of oil. And five were foolish and unprepared. What's the lesson? The lesson is stay filled with the Spirit, stay close to Jesus, and don't let your faith grow cold, as the Bible says, many will. Many's faith will grow cold. Stay filled with the Spirit. Overflowing. Don't be running on empty. Right? That's something that we should be doing all the time. So it's not something like, I need to stay full because I'm scared that Jesus is going to hear it. I'm going to hear it. And then all some, you know, and everything else. I'm like, no. It's not, be watchful, not worried. But it's something that we should be doing all the time. Why? Primarily because we love God. We want to make God happy, not because we're scared, not because we're fearful. Because one day you're not going to be fearful and it's going to fade away, but your love for God and his love for you will never fade. So that'll cause you to always want to stay full because of your love for him. Very important. So stay faithful. And wherever that is for you, I think that that's a lot, it's different for other people. Maybe it's staying faithful in the word. Some people are faithful in the word. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're faithful in praying. Maybe you're not. Maybe it's staying more faithful in prayer. Maybe it's coming to church regularly. You know, like you're not coming in to, you know, hamra 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 hamra, praise the Lord. You know, and you're just, I feel better and I'm gone. No, but it's a constant thing, knowing and understanding that there's life in community. I've said it before and I'll say it again, that Jesus forgives. He forgives. You know, we go to Jesus for forgiveness and we go to God's people for healing. Jesus forgives us, but we find healing in the comfort of our brothers and sisters who are helping point us the right way. Being used by God, our brothers and sisters will help us with the healing process. And so you can't experience that when you're not here. I love you enough to tell you the truth. It is true. The reason why I'm not a whack job, that if you know my history, you know my past, you know that where I've come from and the things that I've gone through, that I have the privilege and the honor of pastoring a church with my wife, that I think that is God's grace. That's God's mercy. That is staying faithful. That's staying full. Didn't mean I didn't go through things in the process, but the thought pattern is that's staying faithful and being used by God no matter what the past was, because I did not, because of the cross, because of the blood of Jesus, I did not allow my past to define my future. And that's a byproduct of being faithful. A byproduct of putting my hand to something as a young adult in the church, a byproduct of investing into my relationship with God, not seeing it as a sacrifice, but seeing it as an investment. See the difference? It's a big difference when you think about that. Like, I'm doing this because, no, it's an investment. If a lot of us saw the 21 days of prayer and fasting or fasting as an investment instead of a sacrifice, it's a different perception. Praise the Lord. So what are we doing in the meantime? How do we live in the meantime? Be watchful, not worried. Stay faithful. Encourage each other is the next one. Paul said, encourage one another with these words. Right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. We talked about it. Encourage one another. That's what I'm trying to do now. That means when life gets hard, when the world looks dark, remind each other this is not the end of the story. It's not. Even if things are seem dark and bleak, you know, even if there is one that when you're staying faithful, when you're staying full, when you're staying, there is one who will guide you through the darkness and will provide for you according to his word. Do you see the difference? There could be all chaos going on all around. You don't believe me? Let's just say those of you that, you know, whatever political party you stand on, whatever side you stand on, some people thought that during the Obama years that the world was going to hell in a toboggan and things were going to change. And some people thought that. And if you didn't think that, unless I'm talking to you, right? Some people thought, oh my gosh, it's just going to be crazy. You know, we're going to lose so much money. And it just started going crazy in worry. I didn't. I'm like, because President Obama, the U.S. government's not my provider. God is. And I'll ask, everyone's still here today after that. So I even say the same thing if you're not on the side of President Trump. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's crazy. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Same thought pattern. When God is your source, he's your provider, no matter what's going on in the world. I will remind you before that I'm an American, and I am American. I have my American flag. When I don't have my Buffalo Bills flag up during the season in my house, I have my American flag up. And, you know, I'm proud to be American. We live in the greatest country on the face of the planet. I love America. But before I'm an American, I'm a child of God. Being a child of God makes me a better American. It's not swapped. Being a child of God makes me a better husband, makes me a better father, makes me a better pastor, not the other way around. And if you truly understand that, and the poignance and the paramount of that, it will cause you to be stronger in your faith and be better in those areas. So encourage one another. Be watchful, not worried, stay faithful, encourage one another, and shine bright in a dark world. Instead of succumbing to the darkness that's around, that may be going on, be a light. Thank you, Caitlin, for the yeah. And then nobody else is just like, Right? Go back to the be watchful, not worried people. Shine bright in the dark world. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. It says that we're like stars in the universe. As we hold out the word of our life, the word of God. Right? The darker the world gets. The darker the world gets, the brighter the light of Christ should shine in us. We are supposed to be the light of the world. Right? Jesus in us. Right? The world is dark place. Is a world, they don't know Jesus. We are the light. Yes. Right? Where's the one that's supposed to be shining? And those that need to find the light in the darkness, you know as well as I do, you know, that when you see, when you're in the dark, you can't see anything. You can't see the hand in front of your face. I've been in rooms. I've been in a cave like that. A cave where you couldn't see the hand in front of your face. You know, and everything else. It was messed up, man. There was spiders in the cave. There was bats in the cave. I'll tell you what, it was like my worst nightmare and everything else, because at the time, your boy didn't like spiders. I could deal with them now because I overcame that fear. But at the same time, you know, when I look and I'm walking in, because this was a youth trip, and it was a plan. It was a visual example to the teenagers, but it became a visual example for their pastor, youth pastor, and everything, because I walk in and I'm standing there and we're walking in and we're just like, I had a video camera. I'm at the end, and so we're taking a group in. And the gentleman that was our Unity Building person, you know, he knew about it, took us all the way to this deepest part of this little cave. I mean, it was a cave that if you reached out like this, you could touch each wall. And then it was a little higher, and you could hit the ceiling. But he said, No lights. Just he had the only light, and he had everything. But he said, Pastor John, keep your camera in the back, you know, and then if there's going to come a time I ask you to turn the light off. Turn the light off, and you put your infrared on and stuff like that. I was like, okay, right? So I'm doing that. And then he goes, don't touch the walls. Told everybody. So we're walking, and I'm videotaping. I'm just keeping my own business. And all of a sudden, I hear a girl almost trip, and she had to touch the wall because, you know, she had to stop herself from falling. And then she goes, ew, I feel something soft and furry, like that. And I'm like. And it was a fruit bat. And then I'm like, oh, snap. Right? And then I go like this. Because you know where bats come from, other than hell. And then so, you know. So, and I put the camera up. And the ceiling was moving. And in between it moving, there were bats on the thing. But what was moving was these spiders that were the size of my hand. Like I said, your boy didn't like spiders. Like I literally would say, Kathy, there's a spider up in here. And she would have to come kill it. You know? Not anymore. Now I could kill him, you know? And so God delivered me. That's another testimony. And so I can kill him now, you know? And so, but the thought pattern is, so, and then we get to the point, just as I find this out, Bill, the guy that was with us, says, go ahead, Pastor John, go ahead and turn your light off. I'm like, mm-mm. you can turn that light off. I'm like, mm-mm. Pastor John, you can turn the light off. I'm like, I gotta be obedient. I gotta be the example. I'm like, as soon as I turn that light off, I'll shut it again a little bit. See, I'm going to start praying in the Holy Ghost. Right? And then it's quiet. And then all of a sudden, a spider falls from the ceiling and falls on my hair. And there's someone with me. I'm like, there's a spider on my hair. And he was smacking it out of my head. We can't see anything. It's pitch dark. Right? I had product in my hair. I looked like a dirty Q-tip when I walked out. You know, I was just like, it was just like a giant. And he's like, and I'm like, and where he's slapping my head and he's trying to, this is over here, because I felt it moving around. All right. And I'm like, and we're not talking, we're just grunting. And you can hear like that, you know? And then, so you can't hear anything. And Bill's like, I don't know who's moving around or anything else, but they need to stop. And we stop and we're like, yeah, y'all need to stop. So I've been in a place where you can't see the hand in front of your face. And that was the point of his example, that this is how the world looks. You didn't know it was in there. Now the spiders weren't poisonous. The bats were fruit. You know, they weren't poisonous. And there's a couple other things in there I don't want to worry parents about. But, you know, that were in there. But it was all safe and everything. And so he had this little itty-bitty little flashlight. And he turned that little flashlight on. Just a little tiny little thing. And how well lit. I mean, everyone in that cave could see the flashlight, could see the light. And that was the example of, like, that's the way we're supposed to be in the world. We're not supposed to be so nervous and scared about the end time that we turn it off and then just be apart. No, we're supposed to be the example and the light. You know, we need to turn our light on and trust that God's got everything in control and be that light of the world, that shine bright in a dark world. The church is supposed to be a lighthouse of faith, not an emergency room of fear. You hear the difference? A lighthouse of truth, a lighthouse of faith. And so, shine bright. So those are the things I want to leave you with before we go on our last point, is be watchful, not worried. Stay faithful. That's what we need to do in the meantime, before the rapture happens. Encourage each other. I'll say, how do you do that? Get in a life group. There are life groups that are monthly, biweekly, weekly. So it's not too late. You can jump right in. Encourage each other and shine bright in a dark world. And that means learning how to be selfless and stop being selfish. Saying, I'm not going to have my light shine because I'm scared. You know, that's a selfish mentality. So the fourth point is my ultimate encouragement, right? And I want to give you the greatest encouragement of all. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he, God, will dwell with them. And they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things have passed away. That is our future. That is our hope. Not fear, not despair, not chaos, but eternal life with Jesus. So church, let's live ready. Let us live hopeful. Let's live faithful. Because no matter what we see happening in the world, the trumpet will sound. Christ will return, and God is going to make all things new. Amen. So don't let the news shake you about the end times. Don't let fear control you. Instead, fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author, right? Who is the finisher of your faith. The end times is not about doom. It's about destiny. The end times is not about destruction. It's about deliverance. The end times is not about fear. It's about our future with Jesus Christ and God for all eternity. Amen. Jesus is coming soon, so be encouraged, be ready, and be faithful. So, so powerful. And like I mentioned last week, the two feelings that could be felt, even right now, I know that everybody's like, oh, I'm taking a deep breath, I'm understanding, I'm getting a better grip. But when you walk out, there's excitement and urgency or faith and anxiety. It's one of those two arenas. And so we have to remember the return of Jesus is not supposed to cause fear and anxiety. But excitement, the return of our Savior, and urgency to tell others so that they do not experience what you don't want to experience. Amen. Taking the cookies and put them on the bottom shelf. Everyone can eat. Everyone understands. Everyone, it's attainable for everybody, no matter where we are. So don't leave here today without your relationship with God being where it should be. How do you start? You start with yourself. You start right now to ensure that you and your relationship with God, you know where you would be if something bad was to happen to you. Walk out, I walk outside, and something happens, I do whatever. You know, I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to be right there with Jesus. You can't talk me out of it. That's how sure I am. But if I walked out, got hit by a bus, and I died right then, and bam, I'm gonna be standing right before Jesus in heaven. I'm absolutely 100% sure. If that's not you, if you are not 100% sure, today before you walk out the door, let's make sure. Don't walk out. Now, I will say this. I'm going to do a little pastoring. Do a little pastoring right now. I'm not talking about, okay, I messed up this week. I messed up, got a couple things. You know, no. There's 1 John 1:9 that, you know, there in our relationship with God, when we mess up, when we fall, when we stumble, we get back up and we say, God, 1 John 1:9 says that if I confess my sin, God is faithful enough to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I can go to God myself and I can get restored myself. I want those of us that have not been around church for a couple years to understand that. Every time we ask, you know, for altar call, your hand goes up. I love the passion. I love the surrenderness, the willingness. But I also want to teach you that you can go to God yourself. It's one thing that I learned about the Bible that I thought I saw that David, King David, did some atrocities. You read, he did some wild stuff, did some pretty amazing things, but he sinned big. And when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, the Bible says that he was quick to repent. After that, God addresses him as the David as the apple of his eye. It wasn't before the infidelity. It wasn't before him murdering Bathsheba's husband. It was after he repented. And I thought to myself, that's something that I need to pick up for myself. Not that it gives me a license to go and be in, you know, to fool around or to kill people. No. It is that it's about learning that when you find yourself in a place where you've messed up, you pick yourself up and you repent quickly. You say you're sorry quickly. I'm not saying this braggadociously, but it's like in everything that I do, I'm literally one of the first ones, if not the quickest one in our household, to say sorry when they mess up. Been like that and always been. And there's a couple of the kids that follow suit. They're like that. They don't even realize it. A couple others will follow. But I see that and I'm like, man, and that's something that we should learn and see. We're not called to be perfect. We're called to be faithful.